Well, we're back after the international break, and there's a full fixture list of Premier League and EFL action ahead. We've had the first managerial sacking in the top flight, and we've got a big derby to preview this weekend as well. So there's plenty to look forward to in this week's Assist. Well, welcome along to the Assist in association with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm delighted to say I've been joined this week by James Milton and Dan Childs to talk through their thoughts and tips for this weekend's Premier League and EFL fixtures. But guys, we couldn't start off without mentioning the World Cup qualifiers that we've had in the last week or so. And in particular, England's impressive win in Serbia, Milts, which I read a comment from somebody that I know is a journalist who described it as England's possible finest away performance in qualifying. Certainly was impressive and probably surprised many people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think it's fair to say that England qualifiers, whether for the Euros or the World Cup, are not always box office hits in terms of viewing, but yeah, it was exactly the kind of performance and result that Thomas Tuchel needed. You know, I think we'd all been saying you can't judge them on these games against Andorra. You know, it is painful. They are going to have to grind it out. They played a Serbia side who you know obviously a far higher level, and yeah, they came through it in style. With plenty of big players missing, obviously Palmer and Bellingham and Saka. So, yeah, very positive for England. I'm not going to be singing "It's Coming Home" just yet, but just the kind of performance that Tuchel needed.
Yeah, pretty much done and dusted now, Dan, in terms of qualification for England. It's also a couple of decent results for Scotland along the way as well to help their chances.
Yeah, I thought. I mean, just first touching on England, I thought that they were superb. Really, it was the first big test, really, of Tuchel's reign. Very hard to judge them, as James has said, on the games against the likes of Andorra, Latvia, even Albania at home. And I just thought the thing that impressed me more than anything was the relentless nature of the performance. Even when they got a couple of goals up, and in the second half against 10 men, they didn't just settle for it. They really went after them and tried to score as many goals as possible. You know, it's very, very bright for the future. Don't like to knee-jerk too much on one game, but, you know, it's as impressive as it gets, really. On Scotland, I watched their game away to Denmark. Thought they got a well-deserved 0-0 draw there. Denmark had most of the ball, but Scotland really were creating just as many opportunities and then went and, you know, got the job done, against Belarus as well with a 2-0 win. They're looking in a decent spot. Denmark went and won away to Greece, which probably complicates it a little bit more, but they've still got the Danes to play at Hampden Park and every chance, really, of Scotland winning that group.
Yeah, so it is still all on the line for the British nations in terms of trying to reach the World Cup, of course, next summer. But England in a very, very favourable position now to make sure that they will be at the World Cup. We're going to head into the Premier League action now as ever. And we will order them in importance as we see the fixtures this weekend. And it starts off with a Manchester derby on Sunday, a 4:30 kickoff at the Etihad Stadium for Manchester City against Manchester United. As far as the prices are concerned, City 7-10, the draw 31-10, and Manchester United 7-2. Milts, we'll start with you with this one. You know, Manchester United got that much-needed victory against Burnley last time out. It wasn't necessarily the most impressive performance. I just wonder how, though, that will give them a little bit of confidence going into this game.
Well, that's a colossal game, isn't it, for both teams. I mean, you know, we've talked so much about United's crisis this season. They go into this game ahead of City in the league table, you know, admittedly only after three games. But there's pressure on Pep Guardiola as well. I think it's going to be a tight, cagey game, actually. You know, United obviously beat Burnley 3-2 last time out. I think United are playing better than their results have shown under Amorim. You know, created plenty of chances against Arsenal, missed a penalty in the draw at Fulham. And you know, they left it very late against Burnley, but they dominated the game, as you'd expect. I think with City, they're going to aim to have more control of the game, and I think they can just about grind it out. I'm really not sold on the City rebuild just yet, but I like the look of Man City to win and under 3.5 goals in this one. You know, obviously coming off the back of two defeats to Tottenham and Brighton, they kind of started both of those games really well, but sort of faded late on. I think, you know, Pep Guardiola will have his side focused for this game, and it is a really important one for both clubs.
Yeah, we know that Omar Mamouche is going to be missing for City, which could be a big blow to Pep Guardiola's plans here. And Dan, let's face it, United have had a pretty decent record against City in recent seasons.
They have in the matches between the teams. I mean, we're talking about being early in the season, over 38 games last season. I mean, despite City having a poor season, they were 29 points higher than Man United. The season before that, if you want to just write, you know, that season off because of United being so poor, they were 31 points above Man United. So I just think there's a huge gulf here. You can't overreact, you know, too much to, you know, okay, they're above them after three games. Where do we really think they're going to be again over the course of a season? And they've got some injuries. I just think that the market's overreacting here to push City out to 7-10. If you take a longer term view, I just think that's a really decent price. The last game at Brighton, you've got the likes of Jeremy Doku, Diaz on the bench. You've got Donnarumma in now. That's a big boost. And Haaland got just the 5 goals in a midweek, you know, in Norway's demolition of Moldova. So they've still got a lot in their corner. Rodri, you know, played a full game, didn't he, last time as well? He should be, you know, fit still after another 2 weeks further on. And I can't have United at the moment, I've got to be honest. I thought second half against Fulham, they were poor. I mean, we can't just overlook the Grimsby performance. That was absolutely dreadful. Burnley, they've scraped a win at the end of the game. I'm still not sold on them at all. And I just think that City, at those odds, are well worth taking.
I just wanted to ask you two guys before we move on to the other fixtures about the goalkeeping situation with both of these clubs at the moment. Obviously, Donnarumma's come in at City, having already signed James Trafford, and you know there's been this chopping and changing in terms of goalkeepers recently at City. And then we've seen Onana leave Manchester United, and they brought in, you know, you could argue, an untried and untested goalkeeper to try and replace him. I mean, I think it's probably fair to say, Miltz, that at the moment, goalkeeping is not where it has been over the last sort of 15, 20 years.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, United have really struggled, haven't they, to find a reliable one. And the transfer business they did late on was interesting, given how strongly they've been linked with Emi Martinez, obviously a World Cup winner and a proven Premier League performer. So yeah, very interesting there. And City, I mean, you know, got two terrific goalkeepers now. Maybe kind of hinting at a little more direct style, maybe less adept at kind of playing out from the back than Edison was. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on it. And you know, from a kind of England perspective, you hope that James Trafford doesn't just end up on the bench week in, week out as well, because he was obviously sensational for Burnley last season.
Donnarumma for you, Dan, a positive signing for City, but are we going to see a change in style?
Possibly slightly. I mean, maybe they need to slightly change their style. It's never a great idea to be too dogmatic. You know, I think opposition teams are starting to work City out a little bit in terms of going with that higher press. And James Trafford, I think they might have looked at him. And sometimes with Trafford, he's got a load of load of potential and ability, but sometimes he looks a bit overconfident, if anything. And maybe, you know, City have looked at that and thought, he's not quite ready yet, you know, to be the number one. And Donnarumma, for me, he might not be as good with a ball at his feet, but he's shot-stopping wise and as a leader, he's one of the best, you know, if not the best goalkeeper in the world. So, no, I'm sure it'd be a huge asset for City.
OK, well, let's move on to the next game on the list, which is at the Emirates on Saturday. It's the early kickoff at 12:30. Arsenal against Nottingham Forest. The Gunners 19-50. The draw 4-1, and Nottingham Forest 7-1 to claim the victory here. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. And I was expecting to have a bit of a discussion about how Arsenal have started the season and how they'll do off the back of that defeat to Liverpool last time out. But of course, we've had our first managerial sacking in the Premier League. And well, some would argue that it's been coming after what Nuno's been saying in his press conferences of late, but the timing has been a little bit strange.
Yeah, unless you're on, you know, on the inside there, it's hard to sort of like know how long they've maybe had this in mind. I mean, there was that, you know, the incident towards the end of last season when Marinakis came onto the pitch. Then, I mean, Postecoglou's been linked with this job almost as soon as he was, you know, let go from Spurs. You know, you've got the Greek owner there, and obviously the half Greek Postecoglou. So there was a link there straight away. You do wonder, maybe it even influenced some of Forest's summer recruitment, because there was then talk about Nuno not being happy with the, you know, the players that were brought in. Maybe they were already looking ahead to what they were going to do with a possible change. Who knows? But a lot of people were talking about the style. I mean, Postecoglou has got, you know, this favoured, you know, attack-minded style. I think you've also got to remember as well, he did show quite a bit of pragmatism towards the end of last season. I mean, Spurs won the Europa League because he almost dumped his style, really. The games against Eintracht Frankfurt in the quarterfinal, especially the away leg, he was quite happy to sit in and play, you know, pragmatic counter-attacking football. And he did the same in the final against Manchester United. So, I think he will kind of learn from those mistakes, and I think he will tailor his approach. I don't think it will just be a dogmatic all-out attack strategy. And I can see him in this game at Arsenal, not going with that all-out attack strategy. I think he'll be more sensible.
Mills, what did you make of the decision to dispose of Nuno? The way that it was done, really, was, as I say, it was seemingly brewing from the start of the season.
Yeah, I think it's always sad to see a manager leave when it's not a kind of down to results, isn't it? I mean, you know, obviously there's an awful lot going on behind the scenes, but just looking at the job he did last season, absolutely fantastic. You know, they went into the final day of the season still in the hunt for a Champions League spot. It was a magnificent effort given where they were when he arrived. So it is disappointing. I mean, you know, From a narrative perspective, it's great that Ange starts at Arsenal. Obviously, I'm sure we'll get a very warm welcome there. And looking at the bets for this game, I think Dan's right. I think Postecoglou is going to kind of temper his natural footballing ethos, particularly in this game. I was at this fixture last season actually, and Arsenal won 3-0. Forest didn't have a shot on target. It looked very, very average. I like the look of one or both teams not to score in this one. Yeah, it's copped in all three of Arsenal's games. Obviously, there were 5-0 winners against Leeds in their first home game of the season, but far less convincing at United, and then obviously at Liverpool as well, where Arsenal fans were frustrated. You know, they had one shot on target against the Liverpool side who looked a little bit ropey at the back in their first two games. So that was frustrating. I think this could be another low-scoring one for the Gunners.
What do you think, Dan? Are we going to get an instant bounce Nottingham Forest off a new manager, or are we going to look at another Arsenal victory?
I think Arsenal will get the job done. I do think it'll be... I agree with James about being low-scoring, so I'm going to go Arsenal and under 3.5 goals, a shade of odds against. I mentioned about Forest. I don't think they'll be gung-ho. And you've got Arsenal... they've had a reasonable enough start considering the fixtures. Two of those three fixtures, Man United, as much as the criticism they get, Man United away is not an easy fixture. They've got 6 points on the board. If they'd have drawn at Man United, drawn at Liverpool and beaten Leeds, Arsenal fans are probably quite happy. They've actually got a point more. Madueke on fire, wasn't he, for England? I'm sure he'll bring that back this weekend and can help Arsenal get the home win.
OK, well, up next, we will remain in the capital because West Ham face Tottenham in the 5:30 game on Saturday. The Hammers are 12-5. Tottenham are 11-10 and the draw can be backed at 13-5. Milch, you get first call on this one. I don't think anybody saw West Ham winning, not necessarily winning at Forest, but winning as convincingly as they did before the international break. Is it going to be a different story here, bearing in mind maybe the pressure's mounted on them a little bit when they're playing at home?
I think so. I mean, you know, you look at the scoreline, 3-0, but it was a pretty dour, even game up until the last 10 minutes when suddenly West Ham cut through. I mean, Forest were really, really poor as well. So I'm not sure this is going to be the turning point that Graham Potter needs. And you know, sounds like it's going to be a pretty grim mood at the London Stadium, the planned protest against the board. And that's, you know, not what you want when you've got a clash with your London rivals. You know, you need the kind of derby atmosphere there. So I'm edging towards Tottenham in this one. I mean, they were, you know, outplayed by Bournemouth in that defeat before the international break. I just think they're going to have enough. I've, you know, tentatively, I'm going for a 2-1 Tottenham win in the correct score market. You know, don't really trust either side particularly, but I think Spurs have just got the individual quality. And of course, West Ham's last home game was a 5-1 defeat to Chelsea when things were going pretty well for a few minutes. I mean, Cole Palmer was injured in the warm-up for Chelsea. Then West Ham got an early goal and then it all fell apart. So, yeah, I think that with the discontent in the stands at the London Stadium as well, I think Tottenham may just about be able to take advantage.
Is it fair to describe the Spurs' performance against Bournemouth as a bit of a bump back down to earth, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about Arsenal's start. Spurs have still got, you know, 6 points on the board. They've had Man City away in those three games. Probably got the points, not as you would expect. But let's give Bournemouth a bit of credit as well. I mean, they've started the season fantastically well. I think Spurs at the moment, with Maddison and Kulusevski not in the picture for quite a while, there's going to be an issue, I think, when they come up against teams that they're Spurs expected to have more of the ball. And they did against Bournemouth, had about 60-odd% possession, but couldn't really break them down without that creativity. I think that going to this game, I think there will be a strong atmosphere. There always is when West Ham play at home to Spurs, and Spurs don't find it easy there. They've not won away at the London Stadium since 2019. Last three games have been 1-1 draws at West Ham. And I wouldn't be rushing to back Spurs at just a shade of odds against, you know, given that record. West Ham are going to be boosted by getting that. I know the goals came late, but still a great win for them away to Forest. It's going to lift the mood. And I think they'll pick up a point here. Spurs are going to need a little bit of time for some of these new signings. Simmons and Colomwani are going to be probably in the squad for the first time. They might need a little bit of time to settle.
OK, well, next up on the list for us is Everton against Aston Villa on Saturday at 3 p.m. Still getting used to calling it the Hill Dickinson Stadium. But Everton go for 2 wins out of 2 at their new ground. And you could describe this as the Jack Grealish derby. Certainly has made an impact since joining the Toffees. And Everton are 29-20 to claim the victory on Saturday. It's 15-8 Villa and the draw 12-5. Let's start with Grealish, Dan, because, you know, he has made an impact for Everton so far, and obviously coming up against his boyhood club, he's going to want to try and impress again.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. And I think he's kind of a little bit of what Everton needed. They're a very well-structured side, good defensively, but that dash of quality and the, you know, the decision-making to find the right pass at the right time, to take the ball in tight areas, I think he's just the sort of player that they needed. Now, this game, I've got to admit, I'm not overly confident here. I mean, Villa have been awful, haven't they, before the break? But I'm going to go with Villa here at the prices. Shade of odds against on the draw, no bet. I just think there's going to kind of come a time, and it might be quite soon, where Everton are going to start missing Goodison. It was a unique atmosphere there. I think the break has probably come at a good time for Villa as well. A couple of their players, you know, certainly in the England side, that are going to be full of confidence after the way they played against Serbia, Konsa. And I thought Morgan Rogers was outstanding in that game as well. So that's going to, you know, boost them in terms of a couple of individuals. And I think it'll be a very close game. But look, I still think that Villa, over the course of the season, will finish higher. And as I say, Goodison not being a factor anymore, I'm going to go with Villa tentatively on the draw, no bet.
Yeah, Milts, I think it's fair to say that most people are probably surprised to see Villa where they are at this early stage of the season. And a couple of additions have certainly strengthened the squad before the transfer window closed.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, they've obviously had their hands tied a bit in the transfer window. You know, brought in three players on deadline day without paying a fee for them. I think Harvey Elliott's going to be a great loan signing from Liverpool. Actually, you know, even though they've had this enforced quiet transfer window, I think there should be a bit of positivity. We've been doing a feature in this week's assist in the Racing Post, looking at each team's strongest 11, you know, after the dust has settled on the transfer window. And Villa have still got a lot of quality in that squad. You know, clear favourites for the Europa League. That first 11, you know, maybe even kind of first 16, looks strong. And you know, Dan mentioned Morgan Rogers. I mean, holding on to him was huge for them this summer. They've kept Martinez in goal as well. And I think they will improve and will be competitive. You know, no goals so far this season, defeats to Brentford and Palace. It looks really bad. But yeah, I think they can get a point at Everton. You know, I think Everton had that dream start against Brighton, but they rode their luck a little bit there. Brighton hit the woodwork, missed a penalty. And yeah, I think there may have been a bit of an overreaction to Everton's start. And yeah, the draw looks the best bet for me.
We'll go from one Merseyside team to another now, as the champions are at Turf Moor on Sunday. It's a 2 p.m. kickoff between Burnley and Liverpool. And Burnley, I can tell you, are as big as 8-1 to collect the 3 points. Liverpool 3-10, and the draw is 19-4. Burnley will feel hard done by, Milts, after that defeat at Manchester United. Certainly gave as good as they got for long periods there. And they've already, to me, and I've seen them a couple of times now, suggested that they're going to give it more of a fight than they did under Vincent Kompany.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, the manner of that defeat was tough to take. But, you know, at the start of the season, if you'd offer Burnley fans, you know, defeats away to Tottenham and United, but a home win over Sunderland, I think they'd have been pretty happy with that from their first three games. You know, they're up and running in the survival battle. You know, obviously, another really tough game this weekend. But, you know, it feels like there's been a lot of kind of fine margins in the early weeks of this season. Burnley obviously conceding a late penalty at United, and Liverpool won 3 out of 3, but they were drawing until the 88th, 100th and 83rd minutes in those three games against Bournemouth, Newcastle and Arsenal. You know, you can spin it that's what champions do, and certainly I expect them to get more fluent as the season goes on. But I think they could be frustrated at least until through the first half at Turf Moor. You know, particularly after the international break, you think the top teams with these players who've been scattered around the globe in World Cup qualifiers, you know, it is difficult to hit the ground running immediately. So maybe a draw half time, Liverpool full time double result appeals for me on this one.
Alexander Isak will obviously be the main centre of attention in terms of this game, Dan. I've heard a couple of things saying that, you know, his fitness is nowhere near where they want it to be at the moment, obviously because he hasn't had a proper pre-season. How much, if any, do we think we'll see of him on Sunday?
I think the most you'll see might be a late introduction off the bench. He was called up for the Sweden squad, just made wasn't involved at all in the first match, come on as a sub in the second game when they were kind of desperate. Ended up losing, really, really, you know, disappointing international break for Sweden with a 2-0 loss to Kosovo and the draw against Slovenia. So disappointing personally there for Isak as well. You know, a blow to his hopes of appearing at the World Cup. And I just think that from Liverpool's point of view, I've got similar views to James on this, but I think Burnley could actually get the draw over the whole game. I think the draw's overpriced. Burnley, the game at Spurs, I thought they played okay in their way, despite the score, the 3-0 scoreline. They were more competitive than that suggested. The United game away nearly got a great point, got the win that they needed and wanted at home to Sunderland. I think home form is going to be crucial to them staying up. They didn't make the most of Turf Moor the last time they were in the Premier League. I think they'll probably be better at home this season. And it's a good time, I think, to play Liverpool with a situation over Isak's fitness. Wirtz has looked quite quiet in the early games of the season for Liverpool. And I just don't think they're anywhere near playing at their best. They're only away games so far against Newcastle, and they had the advantage of playing against 10 men for the whole second half, and I thought they were really poor in that game. I mean, if Burnley perform, I think they've got the ability to frustrate them, and I'd be very uneasy about taking 1-3 Liverpool in an accumulator. So the draw for me looks overpriced.
Okay, well, 5 down and 5 to go now, and we're going to head to a West London clash between Brentford and Chelsea next. That's at Saturday, 8 p.m. kickoff in the Premier League on Saturday night. Brentford 7-2, Chelsea 8-11. And the draw 29-10. Is this going to be as straightforward, Dan, as the prices suggest? The Chelsea nailed on to win this?
I wouldn't say nailed on, but I would say that the 8-11 is okay to take. I think I would argue they're slightly more likely than 8-11 would suggest to win the game. They've just got more quality all over the pitch. Brentford, I mean, with early season results, three games in, you can spin it different ways, can't you? I mean, if they hold on to that lead at Sunderland, concede two late goals, they're on 6 points, and you're saying, well, you know, what a great job he's doing early on now, Andrews, with all of the upheaval. But as it was a damaging defeat for them. They were really poor in the game against Nottingham Forest as well. In between, got a good win against Villa, who, as we mentioned, have had a really slow start. But Chelsea, you know, they'll be really happy at the moment to be on 7 points, given that they had a difficult pre-season, short pre-season because of their involvement at the Club World Cup. I mean, some of the decisions in the Fulham game, they were certainly given a leg up there to win that game. But, you know, 2 weeks further on, they'll be even fitter and sharper than they were before the break. And I think they'll have a little bit too much quality for Brentford.
Of what you've seen early on from Brentford in particular, Milt, so are we looking at a season of struggle here?
I think it's a bit of a head scratcher for punters at the moment. Obviously, you know, Keith Andrews is a rookie manager, and it was so important that he you know, got banked a few points early on. And as Dan said, yeah, that late capitulation at Sunderland was a real blow just before the international break. I think looking at their squad and you know, the way the club's set up and the recruitment, you know, you just look at those players they've sold in the summer for enormous profits. Yeah, I think you have to trust them that they're going to bring in enough kind of unexposed players to keep them up. But yeah, I think continuing a strong start is vital for Andrews. You know, if he has a slow run from now on, then there will be pressure. And this game, it's a bit of a head scratcher. You know, Chelsea still looking to find the right balance in attack. Liam Delap injured. They've obviously got rid of Jackson and Nkunku, and Cole Palmer's still a doubt. Having said that, they won 5-1 at West Ham without Palmer. And Brentford's games last season at home were full of goals. So I think over 3.5 goals is a decent price here. Brentford have scored in all four of their league and cup games. But, you know, Dan mentioned that opening defeat at Forest, they were 3-0 down at half-time there. So, yeah, a few question marks over their defence.
OK, well, the next game is arguably the longest if it comes to writing out these two teams in their full list of names. Newcastle United against Wolverhampton Wanderers at St James's Park on Saturday is a 3 o'clock kickoff. Newcastle 21-50 to claim the victory here. It's 15-4 the draw, and Wolves as big as 6-1. And bearing in mind that Newcastle have been, I think it's fair to say, a bit unpredictable, Milt, so far, that seems like quite a big price for Wolves.
Yeah, it's interesting as well. I mean, you know, Newcastle inevitably are going to have one eye on the Champions League clash with Barcelona as well. Certainly their fans kind of scrapping for tickets for that game. And yeah, you know, I think the Isak saga has kind of dragged on, you know, right up until the wire in the transfer window. So yeah, I'm not mad about Newcastle in this game. Again, I think it's going to be a low scoring one. I mean, they've had 2-0 draws, one of them against 10-man Aston Villa, one of them against Leeds, and Wolves have lost their first three games, two of them to nil. So, you know, neither side coming into this in full of confidence. And one or both teams not to score looks a decent bet. You know, Newcastle, really impressive once they went down to 10 men against Liverpool. That felt like a kind of, you know, bit of a free hit, bit of a kind of, you know, an emotional effort rather than anything else. And I think there are still question marks over you know, their attacking quality with this new look strike force.
There's a little bit of pressure on Wolves early doors here now, Dan. We had the situation, of course, similarly last season, where they struggled at the start of the campaign and then found it hard to get going. It could be a similar story. This might be a big game for them.
It's a big game for them. I mean, again, we are only three games in. I mean, nobody wants to lose their first three games. I think that, you know, you can pull some positives out of some of the performances, even the 4-0 against Man City. I watched that game, and until the first goal went in, they were actually, you know, they were playing to a decent level, creating some chances. The Bournemouth away game, they were quite competitive, even though they were down 10 men for a large part of that game. And then they've lost a tight 3-2, you know, at at home to Everton. Got a good win in the EFL Cup at home to West Ham. And Strand Larsen they've kept. So that was a Newcastle. Obviously, he was one of the players Newcastle were trying to sign. And Newcastle, I'm just not sure about the players that they've brought in up front. Whether they're going to be the sort of players that are going to get you in, qualifying for the Champions League. And at the moment, certainly Wiss is going to be short of match fitness. Voltimada, I think Bayern Munich were looking to get him as a long-term replacement for Harry Kane. So whether he's going to be able to really, I know he's making his way. He's getting into the Germany squad and played for them against Northern Ireland. But I'm not sure he's anywhere near the finished article as a Premier League striker at the moment. So I think Newcastle, them struggles, as James mentioned, for goals. A couple of 0-0 draws. I wouldn't be backing them at really short odds. In fact, I would oppose them. I'm going to go for draw or Wolves double chance.
Well, Newcastle's northeast rival Sunderland are actually ahead of them in the table at the moment, and they make the journey to the capital to face Crystal Palace on Saturday. It's another of the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Palace 13-20 to claim the win. It's 9-2 for Sunderland to snatch the 3 points, and 14-5 the draw. Dan, let's start with Palace, because keeping Mark Gay was a huge boost for them, and probably not expected when you're heading into transfer deadline day.
Keeping Mark Gay and that, by the sounds of it, if you read anything into the reports, that led to keeping Oliver Glasner as well. Yeah. Because he didn't sound that he was very, too thrilled about the prospect of Gay leaving right at the end of the transfer window. So there's question marks long term there for Palace. How long they're going to be able to keep hold of their remaining best players, the likes of Gay, Wharton, and the manager. Wharton for this fixture, he's injured. They've lost Eze, as we know. Ismaila Sarr's gone and got injured now, and he's a big player for Palace as well. So I would be, even though they've started the season, you've got to say this, they've started the season great, Palace. So, had an unbeaten run towards the end of last season. This season, won the Community Shield, and they're unbeaten in the league. Got that great win at Aston Villa before the break. But with the players that they're missing, Sarr included, I wouldn't be rushing to back them here at odds on. I think Sunderland can nick a result here. I mean, for them to be on 6 points already, what a wonderful start for Sunderland. I think the Xhaka signing for them is just going to be massive throughout the season. In any tricky away game, his leadership is going to come into play. And with Palace, as I say, having those key players out, I think Sunderland can nick a point.
It is very early days, Milts, but have Sunderland shown enough for you to suggest that they can stay up?
I mean, yeah, it's been a terrific start. It's all the action seems to happen late on, doesn't it, in Sunderland games. You saw it in the Championship playoffs, in the semi-final and then in the final. And it's been a similar story this season. All three goals in that win against West Ham were in the last half hour. And then they had the very late comeback against Brentford last time out. So, I think that speaks volumes in terms of the kind of fitness and the mentality of the squad there. And, they focused on young players. And as Dan mentioned, bringing in a really experienced campaigner like Xhaka looks a smart move as well. So, I take a similar approach to Dan to this fixture. I think Palace, there is a significant drop-off between their strongest 11 and kind of the understudies. And, when you take out a player like Wharton and certainly Sarr as well, who was brilliant last season, I think that really will affect them. So Sunderland or draw, double chance, looks a decent bet to me. I think Palace won nicely at Villa last time out, but only scored two goals in their previous four games. That included the Conference League playoff two legs against Fredrikstad, which were pretty dour games. So, when you're looking to back a team at home at short odds, you want to see where the goals are coming from. And obviously, Mateta's been brilliant, but without Sarr and against the Sunderland side, who've already exceeded expectations, I think Palace are vulnerable favourites.
Okay, well, two more games to look forward to in the Premier League, starting with another 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. It's at Craven Cottage where Fulham take on Leeds. Fulham 19-20 to claim the win. It's 29-10 for Leeds and 5-2 the draw. What are you looking at here, Milts?
Yeah, it's a bit of a similar feel to the Palace-Sunderland game, actually. The established kind of mid-table side taking on a promoted team. And again, I've got my concerns about Fulham's goal-scoring ability and ability to take maximum points. So I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals in this one. been a winner in all four of Fulham's League and Cup games this season. And, you know, Leeds have not exactly set the Premier League alight on their return. You know, obviously, magnificent record in the Championship last season. Came up, got that opening win against Everton. That was with a late penalty. Then lost 5-0 at Arsenal and drew 0-0 with Newcastle. So, you know, they've got points on the board and they'll be happy with that. I think they can target at least another point here, but I think it's going to be a tight game. You know, that Arsenal rout probably flattered the Gunners a bit. I think they scored with all five of their shots on target, which is a bit of an anomaly. So I expect Leeds to be tough to break down, and I'm still not quite sure Fulham have the tools to cut loose against teams they're expected to beat.
Yeah, I'd suggest, Dan, that both of these two teams, you kind of wonder where the goals are going to come from.
Yeah, I'm okay actually to back Fulham a shade of odds on. I mean, once you take the home advantage into account, that's kind of pricing them up as not a lot better than Leeds, and I think they will finish comfortable mid-table for them, and I think Leeds are going to have a battle on still to stay up, like most newly promoted teams is the case. I think watching Leeds last season, the midfield too often made them tick. Tanaka and Ampadu. Tanaka's injured. Ampadu's, it sounds like he's going to be injured as well. He was unavailable for Wales during the break, so that's two big blows for them. Thought they missed a big opportunity at home to Newcastle with the Isak situation rumbling on, and the players at Newcastle, like so Anthony Gordon and Joe Linton that were missing for that game. Ended up just with a 0-0 draw. And I just think that Fulham, you look at their results so far, got a decent draw at Brighton, come back to get a draw at Man United, show good character both of them games coming from behind, and were playing very well against Chelsea until a couple of huge decisions went against them. So I'm fine with Fulham at the moment. I think they'll have an okay season, and I think they'll get their first win this weekend.
And we'll conclude our Premier League roundup with a game at the Vitality Stadium where Bournemouth take on Brighton, also at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And as far as the prices are concerned, Bournemouth 7-5 to claim the victory here, Brighton 9-5, and the draw 5-2. I suggest these two teams on paper, Dan, look really evenly matched. A pretty difficult one to call.
Evenly matched. I think I would just give the edge at the moment to Bournemouth. I mean, the Liverpool game, played pretty well. The eye-catching thing for me is that the two games after that, they've kept back-to-back clean sheets. And everybody, myself included, was saying, well, they're losing three of their back four here, Kerkez, Zabani, Heiss, and bringing new players in. Well, actually, straight away, they've looked nice and solid at the back. They're still looking, excellent going forward as well. We're always going to create chances and score goals. And with home advantage, I think the way that Bournemouth have started, I think that, they're certainly candidates for, a top eight finish. Brighton probably candidates for top 10, but with home advantage, 7-5, I think that's a big enough price.
How do you see this one, James?
Yeah, I like Bournemouth as well. I think it just shows what a cracking set of fixtures we've got, that this is the last one we've come to. I think it'll be a really interesting game. And as Dan says, I mean, Bournemouth, hugely impressive with not only kind of three defenders who they had to replace, but they've also got new goalkeeper Petrovic and just look a really assured unit already. Real competition for places in midfield and out wide. And I think the prospects look excellent for them. You know, we mentioned the very good win at Tottenham last time out. You know, Brighton obviously coming off a fine result against Manchester City as well. Thought they were slightly less convincing than Bournemouth were at Spurs. Mm. You know, Brighton had one shot in the first hour of that game against City. And I think, needed to take advantage of City flagging a bit in the final half hour. So I'm inclined to oppose them. You know, they lost at Everton in their first away game. Couldn't close out the win against Fulham. And pro Bournemouth this season. So I think at around 7-5, Bournemouth look a nice bet.
Well, that's all of the Premier League action then covered for this weekend. Up next, it's your FPL update. And then we'll return with our EFL thoughts. Well, now here is Jamie Philby to discuss all things FPL as we move into game week 4 in the Premier League.
So, game week 4 is upon us, and here are three assets for you to consider transferring into your FPL team. Starting off in the defence, Daniel Munoz looks like a good option. The Eagles face Sunderland at Selhurst Park. He's priced at just 5.5 million and averaging over 6 points per game, and has shy of just over 200,000 transfers in this week. In midfield, Jack Grealish can come back to haunt his boyhood club, Aston Villa. Grealish has already registered 4 assists this season, which is a league high. The maestro has racked up 22 points so far, bettered by only 2 midfield assets. He's also been transferred in over 900,000 times. That's more than any other player heading into game week 4. And finally, our striker selection is Arsenal number 9, Victor Gyökeres. Coming in at 9 million, the Swede has 2 goals in 3 appearances so far. This is a good return considering he's faced both Manchester United and Liverpool away from home. The Gunners host Nottingham Forest, who have just sacked manager Nuno Espirito Santo. Ange Postecoglou is his replacement, and we all know that he loves to play free-flowing attacking football. Gyökeres can expose the Forest high line and potentially grab himself a big points haul here.
Well, a big thanks to Jamie for the FPL update. We're going to head to the EFL now. And before we get Dan's best bets in terms of this week's action, you look at the bottom of the Championship, Dan, and the two Sheffield clubs are rooted to the foot at the moment. Just 1 point between Wednesday and United. And I think most people expected Wednesday to struggle considering the financial issues that they've had over the last few weeks. But Sheffield United, and already talk of Ruben Selles potentially losing his job at the moment, it's really a big surprise to see them where they are.
Yeah, I think they lost a couple of important players, didn't they? Ahmed Hodzic, let's get that right. He departed Vinicius Souza, who's an important player in the centre of the park. Vinicius Souza especially, because when you watch him play, the balance in midfield, again in the Middlesbrough game, just doesn't look quite right. You've got Gus Hamer and O'Hare playing in there, and Sidi Pet, the young player. A lot of responsibility on him to do the defensive duties. The other two really want to go forward. So he's changed the style of play. He wants them to pass the ball more. Got to a back four as well from a back three. So there's a lot of changes. He wants to stamp his own authority on the team, Ruben Saez. But I think it's taken him maybe a bit longer than he thought for that to work out. And the Championship is quite an unforgiving division. I'm sure they'll improve, but I think it might take they might have to take a few more punches on the nose before that happens.
Yeah, there's a few frowning faces, I can tell you, in the Steel City at the moment with how the Championship table looks. Let's look then at Dan's bets for this weekend in the EFL. And of course, we like to select one from each of the three divisions. And we'll start off with the Championship. Dan, who are you looking at here?
I'm going to go with Watford at home to Blackburn, around 7-5. I think that's a really good bet for Watford. I watch Watford regular, so I've got a good handle on the team and the squad. Watford's squad, judging by the early games of the season, is much, much stronger, and their starting 11 than it was last season, especially in areas that matter. Up front, brought in Nestori, Aaron Kunda from Bayern Munich, and Luca Kjærngaard's centre forwards coming from Danish football. The two of them already have forged a partnership. And Watford, they've got quality in attack and they look a threat. The game at home to Southampton, one of the favourites to go up before the break, finished 2-2. But Watford didn't just, they went toe-to-toe with Southampton. It was a great game to watch. And now 3 games undefeated in the league. And they're playing against a Blackburn team that have lost 3 of their first 4 games. And the downside for Blackburn here as well, the fans are going nuts because Dominic Higham was sold on deadline day, a key centre-back for them to Wrexham. That they've got, I'm trying to think of the other centre. They lost their other centre-back, got sent off in the 2-0 defeat at home to Norwich. So the two starting centre-backs from the last game, not available. And you go into a Watford team, as I said, that have got a revamped, much-improved attack. So Watford, odds against to win this game, looks a really good bet.
Yeah, it does indeed. Watford then to beat Blackburn in the Championship is Dan's selection in the second tier. Who are we looking at in League One, Dan?
I'm going to go with Cardiff drawn, I bet. Shade of odds on away to Stockport. Cardiff, top of League One. No relegation hangover for them. They've only dropped 2 points so far. Top of the league, and they've played a game less than the teams that are just below them. playing a really exciting possession-based, high-tempo style of football. Already, they've not had easy fixtures as well. One of their, you look at some of their wins. They beat Plymouth, who were just relegated out of the Championship with them. They beat them 4-0 at home. Luton, another recently relegated team. They won 1-0 against Luton at Kenilworth Road. So they're looking good. Cardiff and Stockport got the playoffs last season. I love the manager. Like the manager Dave Chandler. He's done an excellent job for many years there. But he's got they're struggling a bit. Are you looking at their XG's Stockport? Their XG is one of the highest in the division in League One. I think it was even the highest before their last game before the international break. I doubt it would have got a lot better because that game they lost 4-2 away to Plymouth. So Stockport, points wise, they're not doing bad. They've got 11 points from the first 7 games, Stockport, but I think that's probably higher, more points than they should have got. So I think Cardiff going there is going to be a tough game for Stockport. Cardiff, don't see them losing. I think they'll probably win.
No, it's been impressive, Cardiff, so far, where many people thought that they might struggle after relegation last time around. So Watford, Cardiff draw no better than 2 selections so far for Dan. And then what about League Two, Dan?
Yeah, going to go with Bristol Rovers to win at home to Barrow. I put Bristol Rovers up a few weeks ago when they went to Grimsby, and they at that stage they'd lost 3 of their first 5 games, Bristol Rovers, and they were kind of struggling after relegation from League One. They went and won at Grimsby, and they also were the nice solid 1-0 away win against a good side, as we know, in Grimsby. That was just days after Grimsby had beaten Manchester United. The week after that, they got decent away win, 3-2 away to Newport, which was more comfortable than it sounded because they were 3-0 up and then conceded 2 goals late on. They've now got 3 wins in a row, Bristol Rovers. I think they're going to be big contenders, as they should be with their budget, really, and the size of the club for automatic promotion. Barrow, smaller club at this level, lost 5 of their opening 7 games. Captain Niall Canavan, who's an important player for them, he's suspended. I just think that lost the last couple of games, and they're generally a lot more awkward, Barrow, at home than they are away. So I think Bristol Rovers at home, only a shade of odds on, really good bet.
Okay, so just a reminder of Dan's 3 EFL selections: Watford, Cardiff draw no bet, and Bristol Rovers across those 3 divisions. We're going to head back to the Premier League now, and James can bring us his bet builder. And James, we're going to look at the Manchester Derby as the selection Sunday at 4:30, of course, at the Etihad. And what's your bet builder selections here?
Yeah, I'm going for Manchester City to win as the first leg. Now, Dan's obviously very bullish about City's chances. A few promising signs for United in recent games, but I just think City will be stung by those defeats to Tottenham and Brighton. You know, we've mentioned Rodri should strip a bit fitter for this game after playing at Brighton. And as Dan said, I think there is a gulf in class between the Manchester rivals. Really important game for both sides, and I think City are going to show their quality. The second leg of the bet builder, under 4.5 cards. It's not one of the most fiery derbies, certainly on the field in English football. And yeah, these teams have been on their best behaviour so far this season. Only picked up 8 yellow cards, I think, in their first 6 games between them this term. And just looking at the last recent meetings in the league at Manchester City, under 4.5 cards would have been a winning bet in 6 of the last 7 games. So, yeah, I think should be a disciplined performance from both sides. And then I'm keeping it simple with the final selection. Adds a nice boost to the price, though. Erling Haaland to be the first goal scorer. I mean, he's absolutely on a rampage in the early weeks of this season. You know, we mentioned his 5-goal haul for Norway against Moldova in World Cup qualifying. He scored in all 5 of their World Cup qualifiers. Even the most pessimistic Manchester United fan would suggest that United are a little bit better than Moldova. But I think Haaland's going to have a huge say in this game. He scored first against Wolves and Brighton. The stat that caught my eye from those games, he had 10 first-half shots in those 2 matches. So he's not going to need long to make an impact against United. And yeah, he could be the key man.
Okay, so just a reminder of the 3 legs for James's bet builder: City to win, under 4.5 cards, and Erling Haaland as the first goal scorer. We'll come up with the naps of the week from both James and Dan very shortly. But firstly, the assist treble. And Dan, we'll start with your selection first.
Yeah, Bristol Rovers, shade of odds on at home to Barrow, looks solid enough to me. Three wins on the trot now, Bristol Rovers, building momentum. Barrow, they didn't score in four of their seven league games. So looking, struggling up front and then shaky at the back when they lost 3-1 at home to Swindon last weekend. I think they'll really struggle on a difficult away trip.
James, who's your selection for the treble?
Yeah, I'm going for Coventry to beat Norwich in the Championship. Obviously, touched off by Sunderland in the playoff semi-finals last season, but no real sign of a hangover for Frank Lampard's side. They thrashed QPR 7-1 in their last home game, averaging 18 shots per game, which is the highest in the division. I think they can get the better of Norwich. It should be a really open game, actually. Norwich have got goals in them, but their only clean sheet this season came against 10-man Blackburn last time out. As Dan mentioned, Blackburn not in great form themselves. And I think Norwich face a really tough test at Coventry.
OK, well, I'm going to go into League Two for my selection, and I'm going to tip up Crewe to beat Barnet at around about 7-5. Crewe moved into the top six with a draw at Colchester last time out, and they were leading in that game as well. They're currently 6 points ahead of Barnet, who I have to say have done better away from home than they have done at home so far this season. But I just think Crewe were one of my fancies for promotion at the start of the season. Their summer signing, Josh March, got off the mark in that draw last week, and they've got two clean sheets in their three League Two home games so far. And I think they could probably keep Barnet at arm's length and snatch a goal at the other end. So the treble for this week's assist, Bristol Rovers, Coventry and Crewe. And we'll conclude the show with the naps of the week. James, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I'm heading to La Liga for my one, Warren. Villarreal or draw double chance. They're away at Atletico Madrid. Atletico have made a really slow start to the season. Lost to Espanyol, drew with Elche and Alaves. 2 points from those three games is not what they would have been hoping for. And Villarreal have been in far better form in La Liga. Both of these clubs heading to England for Champions League games next week. Atletico are at Liverpool and Villarreal face Tottenham. I think Villarreal are more likely to get a pre-Champions League morale boost in this game this weekend.
Okay, and Dan, what's your nap for this week?
Watford to beat Blackburn for me. I think Watford are building sort of steadily now. 2-1 win home to QPR and then two decent draws. 1-1 against Swansea and the 2-2 I mentioned against Southampton. That was a really, really good game. I think they'll have too much quality for Blackburn. As I say, to the two starting centre-backs, Sean McLaughlin was the player that was sent off against Norwich that's going to be suspended for this game. Dom Hyam, as I said, sold on deadline day. They'll struggle to cope with Watford.
OK, well, big thanks to both James and Dan for their thoughts on this weekend's action. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. There's a busy week of content as well for you to look forward to next week. We've got a special European assist on Monday. There's the Golf Sweet Spot on Tuesday, the Punt Team NFL show on Wednesday, and we'll return with the domestic version of the assist on Thursday. For now, though, enjoy your football this weekend, and please remember to gamble responsibly.